Well, folks, what a show we have for you today, because this is the live stream we did this past weekend for our Patreon subscribers, patreon.com/latentnight. And what you're going to hear is the audio from most of that episode, but there were certain super fun, extremely hilarious, if I do say so myself, visual components that you won't get in this version. So go to patreon.com/latentnight to see the video version over there of this and many, many other episodes, and to support the show. We're going to be doing these live streams once a month, so sign up over there for access to those, and thanks for supporting the show. And there we are.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Well,
how'd that work for you?
It was great. As you could see, but nobody else could see, I was kind of losing my shit in the corner because every time you restarted it, it got funnier, even though I knew that was going to be the bit.
Now, tell me if you had this experience when I brought the Lorax back and then started the countdown again. It wasn't funny until like the third time.
Yes, it very much the what's new pussycat into it's not unusual back to what's new pussycat.
Mm-hmm. We're streaming.
We are indeed
baby,
streaming.
We're streaming.
This is a live. Wait, Brian, can you do a Don Pardo?
What do you want me to say?
What do you think I want you to say?
Do you want me to? I don't know. I mean, I would never presume to know what you're thinking. That would
in
be,
regards to this being a live episode.
Me. You want me to do live from Los Angeles? It's Late Night with Brian Wecht. Is that what
you
want?
That is what I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that exactly what it was?
Yeah. What? I say Don Pardo. What the fuck else was it? Would it be?
Well, he was the announcer for a lot of things. I believe he was the original Jeopardy announcer, the Art Linklater version. Well, I don't know. Maybe you're an original Jeopardy fan.
You're in some real jeopardy right now, Brian. There.
That's the reaction I've been looking for.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to...
Hi.
This isn't our first live episode recording, but I want to say it's the first.
It's morally the first.
Morally
I
the
think.
First. Although the first one, we did get the incredible gaslighting everybody into thinking you have marital discord. Which is maybe one of the funniest things that's ever happened in the history of the show.
Do you want to describe what happened for this was like 3, maybe 4 years ago that this happened. So
yeah.
Do you want to describe what happened?
So we did a live episode, me, Brian, and special guest Vernon, and I think we had some other folks pop in.
Maybe Jory?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe.
No. Okay. But
that's right. I was not on speaking terms with him.
Yeah. Well, Brian and Rachel were doing this bit where Rachel would come into the room and they would argue and then leave. The thing is that the moment, and this happened a couple of times, the moment the episode finished recording, I got a private message from Vernon saying like, woof, is everything okay with them? I felt so uncomfortable because he 100% thought it was real.
Oh my
gosh. And re-listening to
that
episode with that in mind, you can like hear it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and I had the reaction I love to have, which is the knowledge that I had done, Rachel and I had done a successful bit that made someone feel uncomfortable, but also then immediately feeling guilty for making a dear friend feel uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
which means, I don't know, that's success.
Yeah. I love it. Or like when people took the twerp and NSP Twitter beef seriously, that one was really funny to me.
Yes, that one I really liked. So for context there, I think it was to promote a twerp tour or something like that. They had they had asked me to do a thing with them, and they booked a cameo from me that I then recorded as if the phone was ringing in the middle of the night, and I like, so you could hear me like fumbling with the lamp on the nightstand, and I was like, what's going on? like anyone would ever record a cameo phone call.
Right.
And some people seem to think that that was uncool.
Yes, it happened. I, in fact, saw people saying that they didn't want to listen to or support the show anymore because Brian.
Well, that's the goal.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to actively alienate the audience as much as possible.
Layton, it's a live stream. Let's get canceled. Let's get canceled today. How about that?
Do you know, I had multiple anxiety dreams last night, one of which was that I slept through this because I had been beaten severely and was in a coma quiz shark.
Okay,
and you
cool,
were really
so
mad
cool.
at me, and I like finally checked my phone, and I had like a million notifications that were like, "Are you okay?" And was like, "No, I got my ass kicked." And then the other one was, I think, saying something. I don't know about you. I have constant dreams of being canceled, and because I can read in my dreams, which you know, people talk about.
That's right. Yes, we've talked about this.
Talk about lucid dreaming of like, oh, if you look at a clock and you know that it's not real. I can't do that because I can read tweets in my dreams. I don't recommend
it. We call them posts on X now, just to clarify. I wasn't 100% sure what you were talking about for a second.
This isn't legally actionable, but I am going to kill you.
It's not like we don't have, wait, how many? 45 witnesses?
45?
I guess one of those.
Hello.
Yeah, That's pretty, that's a significant fraction.
44 more than I was expecting.
Yeah. I'm so excited to be doing this. I was telling you before, because it's been a while since we've strum, on Friday, I was like, how the fuck are we going to get the tech for this together? But it was very easy. We started, I don't want to buzz market a platform here, but when I was on The Hawk a few weeks ago, they were using StreamYard and raving about it. And so I thought I'd play around with it, and it's been great. So it was very easy to get everything going, and now it's just working.
Wow. The stream I strumped.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll admit that I find the phrase the scream I scrumped cringe, but everything I do is cringe. So it's who am I to throw stones in a cringe house?
Is that from something? The scream I scrumped?
It's a thing that people say.
It is?
Yeah. Also, Slamuel, happy birthday.
I'm looking at the chat now.
Great. So this is an episode of Late Night with Brian Wecht. I am Leighton, last name not Knight. That's Brian Wecht. Wait, oh shit, because we're right next to each other. We can do a, wait, no.
Wait, yeah, which way is it?
All right, let's
okay,
go.
Okay, wait, hold on. And then I got the angle. Wait, there we are. Wait, let's high five. Ready?
Don't fuck.
We're gonna do a clap sync. There, we should do a clap sync. Ready? So 3, 2, 1, clap.
Oh, that's top tier.
That was really okay. So if I want to point to you, you're wait, it's the angle. It's not the side now. It's the angle. So you're right there.
Yeah. Okay.
Everyone, look. There's Layton right there. Or you know what? I could do this.
I love ET phone like, home me, like bro.
Check out this broad.
Like ET phone. Right. Come on, let's go. ET phone.
Oh,
home.
Sorry. Wait. Hold on. There we go. We're right there.
Ting.
Fingering each other. Yeah, that's the face.
I like that I can physically move away from you. Oh my God, we have an Aaron in the chat.
What?
Hello.
Wow.
It's a gamer.
Hello, Aaron. That's awesome. I didn't expect Aaron to show up.
Well, this is what happens when we post the link to our thing in the gamer group chat.
Oh, you did that. I didn't realize you did that.
I did. Allie is also here.
Very nice. Okay. Cool.
Great.
I love it.
Brian, I have a question for you.
I'm so sorry. I am not taking questions.
Right, of course.
At the moment.
So your child has been engaging in something that I recently popped, and I'm very curious to hear how this has been going.
Oh, yes. So you mentioned Sticky Business, the cozy gaming sticker thing on the Switch. And that day I downloaded it, and so Audrey's threshold for gasping is generally pretty low. But when I showed it to her, she went, oh, the other thing she does now, which I think is very cute, is when she gets very excited about something, such as the new, God, what is it, Echoes of Wisdom trailer, the new Zelda game where you get to play as Zelda for once. I showed it to her and she went, frickin' yes, which is very cute. Because there's nothing cuter than a child swearing, except a child almost swearing, which was great. So I showed her Sticky Business and she went hog wild on it. She loves it. I haven't watched her. She showed me a bunch of the stickers she made initially, and I haven't seen it in a couple days. So I don't know what the latest
is.
But
curious
she's very,
how her sticker business is going.
About it. I'll ask her.
I've just been trying to like push the limits of what is acceptable to make in the stickers, and like there are,
such as,
well, there are a couple of words that they have.
You realize, by the way, if you send me screenshots, I can post them on here, if that's possible.
I don't have. It's not. My switch is in my bed.
Layton, you gotta calm the fuck down. You gotta calm down. It's too much. Okay.
Well, there's like a tombstone graphic.
I can already feel I'm going to be too aggressive on this.
Yeah, no, of course. That's how it always goes. There's a tombstone one and like two of the games. And you can tell that you can do numbers, but they don't give you letters. And it's like, you know that they knew that fuckery would happen. But
Literally.
I did a tombstone and one of the words that you have is wholesome and the other one is games. So it's RIP to wholesome games, which is rude of me. It's not true, but.
Well, I'll tell you what's been happening for me in gaming news this week. I just started playing the new Elden Ring DLC.
I know, and I know this because this will come up in Peaches later, but we had a record number of gamers in the voice chat the other night, and Hav Hogan was playing the Elden Ring DLC, and I got to witness Brian backseat gaming. Which I've never...
Backseat gaming implies that I wasn't 100% right about what I was saying. My advice was helpful and actionable, which are the two things advice has to be in order to be useful.
Backseat gaming doesn't necessarily mean...
Layton, I'm speaking. It included advice such as maybe try hitting him or get out of the way. Simple. Right. You would think. Except Hav Hogan seemed maybe not so great at Elden Ring.
The moment he got off the call, you immediately started shit-talking his playing.
Yeah, he was fucking it up. I mean, so anyway, I thought what I was saying was fun, useful, and funny.
Aaron says, I believe you told him that he should press RB to attack.
Yeah, well, I figured maybe he didn't know how. I was concerned, genuinely, that Hav didn't know how to hit people in Elden Ring. I didn't even know the guy played Elden Ring because we never talk about it. And so here he is playing the DLC, and he's just getting his ass handed to him by a recusant. And he seemed to not be getting any hits in. And I had a moment where I was just looking out for my friend, where I was like, maybe the guy doesn't even know the first fucking basic thing about Elden Ring, which is how to hit somebody. So I decided to offer some useful advice.
It's funny because I was only half paying attention to the Elden Ring stream, because to be very clear, there were perhaps a dozen people in the voice chat with four separate games being streamed. It was Elden Ring, Guilty Gear, Helldivers, ? And then four of us playing Dead by Daylight. And I was playing Dead by Daylight.
I only saw the Dead by Daylight one. I didn't realize there were other games too.
Yeah, yeah. As the chat grew, there was a lot more. Mm-hmm. So attempting to make call outs on Dead by Daylight as other gaming was happening was a bit chaotic.
Yes. But this is a first on the show to correct you. When we were watching Hav play Elden Ring, I had not yet started playing the DLC. I knew it was out, but I hadn't started playing it yet because I was replaying the game and you need to get to a certain point to play it. And I was just almost there. So since then, as in the intervening day, 2 days, whatever it is, I got to that point in the game, beat the boss, Moog, the Lord of Blood, of course, and touched the little egg hand, and I'm now in the Shadow Realm and having a great time beating weird fucking monsters.
The Lord of Blood shows up for me every month and sends me to the Shadow Realm, so get on my level.
That's great. Actually, wait, hold on. I think I might have something for this. I thought we could do a special corner for you to say something. There we go.
Wait, are you also able to make my video really tiny?
And
physically put
that?
Me in the corner?
Can I do that? I don't know how to do that. Let me see. I don't know how to do that real time, and I don't want to fuck with it too much. That would be very funny, though.
I did make
another one, though.
I adore that. Oh, no?
I made another one. Do you want to read what these say for the people not watching the video?
No, they should be punished and sent to the Shadow Realm because they didn't pay for the Patreon to get on here
Hold
and watch
on,
the
live
stream.
Hold on, let me click over to you. There we go. Yeah, go off, queen.
For those not watching the video who are heathens and dilettantes and fake fans and haters, Brian has put up a graphic that says Woman's Corner in front of my video.
Technically, it's an overlay. Not to correct you. Technically, it's an overlay.
Put the other one up as you say that.
Yeah, technically it's an overlay, Layton.
All right, there we go.
An now overlayton.
Now the overlayton says, listen to a man.
I used all of my graphic design knowledge, which is I made a purple rectangle and wrote in it.
Should we do an outdoor stream sometime?
If you
hot tub stream. Yeah, baby. Hot tub stream.
I would do a hot tub stream. Sure. Well, we did have the idea of doing bathtub.
Right,
streams,
yes, but
right?
The bit is that we're both fully clothed.
Fully clothed, yes.
In separate yes. bathtubs with computers precariously over the body of water.
Oh, man. Have you ever seen... I've never seen a room that has more than one bathtub in it. Have you?
No.
Like adjoining tubs, right?
Yeah.
I've seen like a big tub, like a hot tub, or a tub that's big enough for two people. But I've never seen a room with two bathtubs, two standalone bathtubs in it.
Yeah, there's been a shower and a tub, but not, huh?
That's right. Yeah, right?
Like dueling clawfoot tubs would be kind of a vibe.
Yes, I agree. We could do it. We could do a tub stream. Is your tub sittable in?
Define sittable.
Could you do this from your tub is the question I'm asking you.
I certainly could. I would place you where you belong on my toilet because you know how small
indeed,
my bathroom
yeah.
is. It's like in the
it's
Sims
small,
it is a
yeah.
it is a four tile bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And two tiles for tub, one tile for toilet, one tile for sink. Anybody mm-hmm. taller than like 5'4" is struggling in there. But
yeah, so we have a soaker tub that we got put in the bathroom specifically because daddy likes to take bubble baths.
How
you know.
Did I know you were going to say that daddy loves to soak?
Daddy does love to soak.
Tragic.
Yeah. So we got it so I can take my bubble baths and soak and enjoy my middle-aged life.
Brian, what's your preferred bubble bath?
I've been a Dr. Teals person for a while now. It seems to work well. I like some of the scents. The lavender is pretty nice. They have a green one, which I think has like eucalyptus or something in it, which I also like. I've been a Dr. Teal's daddy for a while now.
And you're not a bath bomb guy.
I am not. I find that bath bombs often leave kind of a residue, like they feel oily yeah. in a way I don't like.
Oh, interesting. Because I love feeling oily and glittery after a bath.
Many people do, but I don't. I want to feel just clean. I actually, here's my issue with baths. I like them pretty hot, but then you're sweating in the water, right?
Yeah.
So it's a terrible feeling to be in a bath with like soap and sweet smelling scents and mm-hmm. feel like you're getting dirtier in it because you're just schwitzing.
I always
like
feel
crazy.
Dirtier after a bath. Do you ever mm-hmm. do the thing? Mine will not consistently do enough hot water for a full bath, so I bring an electric kettle into the bathroom so I can boil additional water and dump it in.
Wow, that is the most I'm in my 20s thing I've ever heard.
Hey, if it works, it works.
Yeah. No, we have enough, no, I don't want to brag here, but we have enough hot water to sustain a bath.
Well, yeah, look at you fucking homeowner. Rub it in.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel anytime I take a bath, I take a shower. Like I rinse as the tub is draining because I just do not feel clean.
I do too. My standard bubble bath MO is all bubble bath. And usually I'll watch a program or some such thing in the tub. And then when I'm done, and sometimes I can go for a pretty long time. I can go for 2 hours sometimes in the tub.
Wow.
If I'm really on a roll, so to speak. Then I'll take a shower afterwards. Cause the other thing is if you're sweating in the tub, you got to deal with your hair, right? Cause your hair is now, you're not washing your hair typically, at least I'm not, in the tub. So then you got to get out of the tub and wash your hair. So I will,
right.
Also you're covered in bubbles, which are a pain in the ass to towel off. So yeah. If you really want to get the full bubble bath experience, you take a quick shower at the end where you wash your hair. That's what I do.
Beastman says late in night with Brian Wet.
Oh, I do like that.
That needs to be the title. We have to do this, and that needs to be the title. Both of us fully clothed in separate tubs, and if we have any special guests pop in, they must also be fully clothed in their respective tubs.
You know, famously, this is a the hot tub thing is a Kristen Schaal and Kurt Brownell thing. They used to do a hot tub talk show in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Do we know anybody who has a hot tub that we can take advantage of?
I could break into Brent's house and fashion a hot tub out of available materials. He'd love that.
Yeah, the only thing that I've done filmed in a pool was at Brent's pool. It was a power hour where that was the day that Aaron learned how to play Magic the Gathering.
Really? For the first time?
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing to witness.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. It was a bunch of us sitting on the edge of the pool with like the water squirters trying to hit Dan square in the face constantly. It was fun.
Now that does sound fun, actually. I also filmed a thing in Brent's pool.
Elaborate.
It was the dinosaur laser fight level up video.
Wow.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yeah, I had to fall into his pool. Do I know? I must know someone that has a hot tub. We could find a hot tub, I think. Now, would it be someone who would be willing to let me film at their house? Irrelevant.
Yeah, we just sneak in. It's fine.
We just sneak in. Yeah.
Two fully clothed, sopping wet adults leaving
right.
a trail of hot tub water.
What would you wear? Because I would put on like a suit.
I need as many layers as possible. I think I would probably do a long sleeve, a layered top on it, jeans, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like the way.
Yeah.
And then maybe like goggles, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like steampunk goggles.
No.
But that's your thing, isn't it?
I love cogs and gears and stuff. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorite.
I love it on Double Threat when they talk about, which they do frequently, the steampunk chocolate shop, Toothsome's Chocolate Emporium.
Buddy, I've been to Toothsome's Chocolate Emporium.
We have been to Toothsome's Chocolate Emporium.
I forgot you were there.
That's called the Brian West presence.
I just remembered being there with Hav.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was you, me, him, and Audrey.
Yes, it was. What a delightful day.
Yes, and Meowch was supposed to come, but he got food poisoning.
I was so sad. I was so close to like suffering the same fate. I was the only one who got scallops at Benihana, and I was like, oh, those scallops do sound pretty fucking good.
You know what? Since then, I have been a little more reticent to order scallops, actually, because he got destroyed by them.
Yeah. Really very sad.
It was very funny.
Yeah, I guess so. There was another bit that I wanted to do on this live episode. So if you're on the Patreon and you listen to the minisodes, you already know about this. But if you're listening to this on Friday or you didn't listen to this week's minisode, there's a wonderful website. There's a wonderful website called doesthedogdie.com, which can be a great resource if you have triggers that make watching things or playing things unpleasant, and you can be warned of them ahead of time. It's not just for Does the Dog Die? There are dozens of categories of any possible unpleasant thing you wish to avoid, and I think it's a great resource, and I'm glad that it exists and is useful to people. That being said, It is so fucking funny. Accidentally, all the time. I, A, love going there for movie recommendations, and B, unintentional comedy. It's incredible. So I don't want to denigrate people who need, like, whatever. I'm not going to get into my whole ethos on this because it's unnecessary. Aaron saying yes in the chat. We are playing this game. Brian, I have pre-selected some things that I'm going to have you guess the movie or show.
Okay, great. Yep.
I unfortunately
like Moulton, like Michael Bolton. I'm a major cinephile.
Brian, since we talked about Lonely Island Bits the other day, I have had a constant rotation in my head of Boombox and The Creep, and it won't fucking stop.
Boiled goose.
I have to know the obsession with boiled goose for them. It shows up in like multiple shorts.
Does it really?
Yes, it does. And throw it on the ground. One of the items thrown on the ground is boiled goose.
You're right. I forgot about that. Yeah. If I had to guess, what I would say here is they did it once and they thought it was funny. And then they referred back to it. Right. And then they referred back to that. And then it became a thing. That's what I would guess.
I disagree.
I don't know. Hold on. All right, now disagree.
I disagree. And I'm and I'm blurry now?
You don't look blurry. Oh, wait, now you look blurry. Yeah, okay, great.
There we go.
Great.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out the correct order to do these in. And Brian, will you hide the chat so you don't see? Because people at home can play along.
Okay. The chat is hidden.
Okay, great. Okay, so the first
Were you eating something? Just then you were making nom noises, and I was, because you're slightly desynced here, I thought
there's something. There's a big difference between nom nom and nom nom, which is the sound that I make
when
I'm looking for something.
A nummy, yeah.
Okay, now I'm never saying it again.
Nummy. Do you want? I can make num sounds all day. It's kind of my favorite. Mm. Here, let me give everybody the Brian Wecht eating simulator real quick. This is like the sound of me eating without any food. Ready? Mm. Oh man! Oh, so good.
I am opening up Does the Dog Die for Late Night with Brian Wecht, Misophonia. Right, yes.
Great. Cool.
All right. So first one off the top. This is a film.
All right. So you are reading things and I have to guess.
Oh yeah. I didn't even explain the game. Okay. So Does the Dog Die? You can go to a movie and it'll list their dozens of triggers and people can vote yes or no if it has it, sort of like a Reddit upvote downvote system. And then there's descriptions of what it might be. And that's where the comedy is. So very top one, Does the Dog Die? Yes. And here's the description. The death is not shown on screen. The camera briefly shows the aftermath, parentheses, not bloody, just a small furry stillness. But if you're not paying attention, you could easily miss what it's showing to you. And first of all, I picked this one because I think a small furry stillness is a beautiful turn of phrase.
Yeah, it's the title of my autobiography. Is it The Thing?
No. Here's another
small
one.
Okay, this is the same movie.
Yes. Are there nude scenes? Yes. And then the description. Yes, but for horror purposes.
Oh, is it The Exorcist?
No.
Okay.
Let's see. Is there DID misrepresentation? I also for these, if it says a character's name, I'm going to be vague about the character names just so
you
can't.
Sure.
Blank is said to have DID, though we never meet the character, so it's impossible to know if that is correct. She's also the leader of a cult, so that's not great.
Oh, I have no idea where we're going with this. Leader of a cult, DID.
Small furry stillness.
Split?
Nope.
No.
I got another one.
Okay.
Does someone fall to their death? Yes. And then description. Yes, but the character is possessed and revived as a new person right afterwards.
Is it Hereditary?
Ding, ding, ding. It is Hereditary. And somebody got it after the first question. So,
see, a movie I have not seen.
I know, but I figured
I have read the plot summary of enough to know what you're talking about. Yes.
And my favorite, I had to save my favorite too for this movie because they're great. Is there amputation? Yes, if a head counts.
I wouldn't call that. I mean, look, again, I haven't seen it. In one of my favorite Las Culturistas moments, they refer to that moment as Lil Diva head knocked off, which I think is very funny.
Also, because this is a live stream and we're supposed to be interactive, Bobcat correctly guessed Hereditary after the first one. So, wow,
great.
Good job.
Nice. But the as I understand it, she leans out of a car window and gets kerbonked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. But the best one, and this is maybe one of my up there with Midsommar's A Bear Looks Sad in a Cage. This is one of my favorite pieces of single line poetry on Does the Dog Die? Mm-hmm. Does it have a sad ending? Yes. It has a happy ending for the demon.
Great.
Okay. Let's see. The next one is a TV show.
Okay.
Is there addiction? Yes. Several of the characters are addicted to drugs.
Breaking Bad?
Fuck.
Okay. Well, there I have to admit that I combined it with what I know about you and what you might try to pull with this.
So. I know. I fucked this one up. But the other funny ones from that are, does someone wet slash soil themselves? Yes. A character craps his pants to avoid talking to the cops.
Uh-huh.
Does an abused person forgive their abuser? No. Everyone hurt by Walter, live or dead, never forgive Walt for his manipulations on them.
Is that true?
Yeah, I love the scene where Mike is like, Walter, I forgive you, Walt.
But, buddy, it's okay. I get it. Dies.
Yeah, the thing is when I was looking for these this morning, it's tough finding ones that are not too obvious, are still funny, and that, like, are thoroughly documented. Like, there are a ton of... For some reason, I was
That's
trying
actually
to...
my favorite subreddit, are thoroughly documented. Actually, that is a good idea. You got to admit that that is a good idea for a subreddit. Thoroughly documented, and it's just examples of things that where people have gone into way too much detail about something.
Yes. The last few that I have, I've really fucked this up because this is in fact a lot harder to put together than anticipated. But here's one. If you can guess the movie, I will be amazed.
Okay, movie.
Were animals harmed in the making? No, I watched the behind the scenes documentary and it looked like the monkey was treated very well.
Muppet Treasure Island.
No.
Okay. The monkey. Let's see. Every Which Way But Loose. You wouldn't do that. Oh wait, hold on. Is it a Planet of the Apes movie?
No, that's okay. Too obvious, Brian.
Is it Monkey Shines, an Experiment in Fear?
I have more.
Okay.
Is there obscene language slash gestures? Yes, it's an R-rated movie. There's cussing. And last one for this movie. Does someone struggle to breathe? Yes, kinda, but they're struggling to, like, live at that point, so it's more like a general struggle.
The Abyss?
No.
I don't know. What is it?
Chat? Do we have thoughts?
Oh, okay. Should I look at the chat for this?
No!
Okay, so Jesus Christ.
And also, it's not Nope. It's not Nope. I wouldn't have picked...
Oh, Nope would have been an interesting...
I wouldn't have picked one that has, like, a straight-up actual monkey in it. The swerve is that you may have forgotten there's a monkey in this movie.
King Kong.
No.
Okay. The Peter Jackson King Kong.
No.
Kong versus Godzilla.
It's an R-rated movie. There's cussing. Someone's struggling to basically exist. The monkey was not actually harmed. Now I'm just going to have to pick up the full page because now I'm really committing because you won't get this one.
So you're, just to fill all the listeners in, you are now going to the website and looking up the other things for this movie?
Yes.
Great. Incredible.
No one has guessed it yet, which is crazy to me. Are there spiders? None in this version. Are there bugs? Yes. And the description is, well, what do you think?
The fly?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
We've done it.
Was I the first one to get it?
I think that Always Fumbles in chat got it seconds before you did.
Mm-hmm.
So good job, everyone. Let's see. The rest that I have are just ones that are funny and not you being able to guess.
Yeah, do it. Well, how about this? I'm going to try to guess anyway.
Okay.
And then you can do the much funnier thing that's actually true.
I'm going to read this exactly as written, phonetically. Great. Yes. Okay, sorry. I have to read the answer, too. Are there issues of or discussions of existentialism? Yes. A pretty existentialistic film, actually.
Is it existence?
No.
Oh, that would have been great.
And also, I'm going to spell that. E-X-I-S-T-A-C-L-I-S-T-I-C.
It's like a combination of ecclesiastical and existential.
Yeah. Slamuel answers Joker.
Existential. The Matrix?
No.
The Matrix Reloaded?
No.
The Matrix Revolutions?
No.
Kong versus Godzilla?
You really got to get outside of a certain mindset. It's maybe a slightly unpredictable one. And
Spirited
also is
away.
Recent.
Oh, Inside Out 2.
Nope. You're getting close, though, because one of the other entries for this movie is, does it have a sad ending? No, not really quote-unquote sad, but kind of quote-unquote emotional, like a Pixar movie.
Hmm. So it's not a Pixar movie.
It is not a Pixar movie.
Is it animated?
But that's, no.
All right, what is it?
Chat, final chances.
What are people saying? Can I look at the fucking chat now?
A horse in the hospital, got it. It's Barbie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I love the idea of describing a movie... that like your only reference point of an emotional ending of a movie is a Pixar movie. Again,
well, they're
the best at dealing with emotional
terrorism.
I don't want to judge people on this website, but that's please watch something else. All right. Well, that's it for Does the Dog Die? Does anybody have a good idea for the name of that game?
Yeah, what is a good name for that game? It's based on
Does the Dog Lie?
Summary Judgment.
Okay.
Not bad. Not good, but not bad.
Nern says Dead Dog Game, frowny face.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Does the Brian guess? What's dying? The dog? Question mark. Thank you, Beastman. You're on fire.
I feel like these are centering the dog too much, though.
I really like What's Dying.
What's Dying, sure, is actually... Without the dog, then it's good.
Bum, 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 and then you put a dog bark.
Yeah. Woof, thump. And just that thump sound effect.
Oh, what was the one that I was looking at that people were really mad about a dog die? Oh, I was on the page for Curb Your Enthusiasm. And all of them were way too specific. But there was like three paragraphs about the episode where the rat dog gets stomped. Which, understandable. That's upsetting. This is true. Literally the function of the website.
I can't remember that. When did that happen?
It was season four.
Yeah, they all kind of blend together.
Yeah, they do.
At this point.
Wait, I took a screenshot of one of them that I thought was really funny. I think maybe just because it was written in all caps. Where are you? Oh, right. One of the most... There's a tag on Does the Dog Die for Is Santa et al. Spoiled?
Oh, right. So is your kid going to learn about Santa and God's non-existence from this film?
Yes, and this is for Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I'll show you. This is written in all caps. Larry has to wear orthotics for a foot-based issue, and Sammy is woken up to the sound of Larry walking through the hall, wherein she finds her mother putting money under the pillow, parentheses, comes to conclusion, there is no tooth fairy.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Did you watch, you probably did not watch the final season of Curb.
No, I did. I stopped watching after it went HD and everyone got Botox.
Oh, yeah.
It was so jarring. I was like, I'm out.
Yeah, that 7-year gap is pretty dramatic. There were a lot of advances in film technology.
Yeah, no, the low res is what really does it. I'll just endlessly rewatch the producer's season. I mean, that's the
best one. It's so good.
It's fucking amazing. I also looked up the producers on Does the Dog Die, hoping for some good material, but it, you know, was not necessarily the most fruitful.
Do you like the producers, the film?
I've never seen the original one. Don't crucify me. I really like the Nathan Lane one as a musical hater. I just love Nathan Lane, and
he's
Gary Beach is fucking incredible. Have I talked about, I went on a date with this guy when I was in college and he really loved musicals and he was asking me if I had ever seen Avenue Q.
Wait, is this guy Nathan Lane? Because if so, I have some bad news for you.
I would be honored to just breathe his air.
Imagine? Yes. Totally. Same. Yeah.
He was like, I, of course, being polite, was like, oh, what are your favorite musicals? And he was like, oh, I love Avenue Q. And I was like, what is that? And then he pulled out his phone and headphones and put the headphone, and they weren't like earbuds. It was like full on cans. So he would just like sit there. He made me listen to the entirety of Everyone's a Little Bit Racist in a crowded uh-huh. coffee shop with the headphones on while scanning my face intently. And I was like, cool. And I like went to take them off at a certain point. He was like, no, you have to finish it.
Wow. Yeah, good dating strategy.
We did not go on a second date.
Yeah. Avenue Q is fun. It's a fun show to see. I don't think it's my favorite music in the world, but it's a very fun show.
I like the concept. So I'm just, you know me and my also, preferences.
Well, and also it was like just getting in there when the puppet thing wasn't played out yet.
Yeah.
In fact, was probably a big reason it got played out. But yeah, Avenue Q is a fun show.
Hypo Clearing says that's entrapment. It's true. There's so many. God damn it. I continue. My best worst first date is a story that I can't tell on this show. Brian, you've heard it.
Please. Can you say anything? It's such a good story. Is there anything you can say?
What can I say? There was a moment in there where he was scream singing along to songs from In the Airplane Over the Sea. Which, you know, I love Neutral Milk Hotel as much as the next... But it's okay. So that was part of it. That was the least weird part of the date. What else can I say? It starts.
This is, can I say a single word? And you know what word I'm going to say? Blueberries.
That wasn't on the date though. That was the preamble to the date.
I just wanted to see you react to it, basically.
Okay. Right. Okay. A part that I can say. He picked me up. We went to Arby's. We went to the Arby's drive-thru, and he gets curly fries, only curly fries. There is a Chick-fil-A right next to the Arby's. He gets the curly fries from Arby's. We go to Chick-fil-A. We sit down in the Chick-fil-A, and he orders the waffle fries, and he pulls the curly fries out of his pocket so he can enjoy both the curly fries and the waffle fries.
Please tell me the curly fries were not in a container in his pocket.
Just some loose.
Yeah. Loose pocket fries. Oh,
Bobcat
num.
Says first red flag. I'm going to be honest. This was like the sixth red flag by this point. And this was the beginning of the date. We were going to see the movie Now You See Me 2. I had never seen Now You See Me 1.
Actually, look, those movies are terrible. Now You See Me 2 is better than 1. For sure.
I wouldn't know because I went back to his place to watch the first one on a pirated MacBook, and this is where I have to end the story, but also where the funniest parts of the story. Bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Have you ever left a date midway through, just like been like, I gotta go.
Oh, of course not. No, I have no self-respect. And it's also like that date, I have a second worst date that is like right up there, that there are like five separate points that I also should have left on that date. But there was a guy, one part of it, like one of the moments where I should have been like, you know what, I'm out, was when he was like, hey, you want to smoke some of this? I'm going to sell you the best weed in Savannah.
And he pulls out some curly fries.
No, he in fact made an everything bagel with cream cheese and two hard boiled eggs that he ate in front of me. And then was like, hey, do you want to watch Star Wars?
The ultimate date food.
Do you want to watch Star Wars, The Clone Wars? And I was like, yeah, I'll watch an episode. He proceeds to show me six uninterrupted episodes of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, but like dropping me in the middle of a season.
That's yeah, incredible.
As with all things in life, if they're going to be shitty, they'd better be funny also, which they are.
I don't think you should go back to anybody's place anymore. It seems like that's where a lot of this is going wrong.
Brian, after the restraining myself from calling the story that I can't tell the thing that I want to call it because it's the only thing I'll refer to it as, you know exactly what it is.
I know exactly what it is.
After that, no, no, I am not coming anywhere near your home. In fact, I'm not going anywhere at all.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I like now Rich has a good suggestion here. Let's get him on the show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He can pontificate about blueberries at all.
I could do a makeover. Layton, what if I gave him, what would you call it if I did a makeover? What's the segment where I
get wet?
You know, it's like a bar rescue kind of thing. Bro
get
rescue.
Wet.
Get whacked. Yeah, but that imply, I guess so. Yeah.
Go ahead, put woman's corner over me. Silence me.
Well, it's the opposite. It's putting you up on a pedestal, Layton. It's highlighting your opinions and your voice. Now, I do believe I can, wait, hey, talk for a minute here.
I'm saying words and stuff. What the fuck?
Keep going.
Fuck you, Brian, you fucking piece of shit. I hate
That's
you.
That's right, I muted you. Yeah, thank
anyway.
You. Fernando points out, we finally get to listen to a man on a podcast. That's right. It's about time men's voices were heard in podcasting. And you know, I've commented on this before.
Yeah. So anyway, dating advice from me, don't go to a second location. Don't go to a first location. If a man who you've never met calls you in the middle of the night to pontificate about what their ex's asshole tasted like. Mm-hmm. Don't then go on a date with them the next day.
Well, actually, I have some good dating advice. Start at the second location, so it's actually the first location. Then you don't have to get to the second location. It's genius, right?
Look, just as context for these bad date stories, I had I had more manic panic than brain cells. Don't be like me.
Yeah, I think that's good dating advice.
Don't be like me.
What would Layton do? So here's the shirt. It's what would Layton do, and there's just a big X through it.
Do the opposite of that.
Do the opposite. Now here's the interesting thing. Now I have not been on many dates in my life. I've been married for I know, what a
shock.
Who would have thought? And I've been married for a long time. So I've been married for about 17 years, which means I haven't been dating for about three.
That joke never doesn't make me laugh.
I know. And at some point, I just have to do it. But even before that, I don't think I went on any catastrophic dates. I went on dates where like there was just no chemistry from the get-go. But that's not a catastrophe. It just happens, right?
I would take that over any of the ones that I've had.
Yeah, I mean, I've told my best bad dating story on the show, mm-hmm. which was the why can't your alone time include me?
Yeah.
Girl. But that's really the worst one.
Yes, indeed. What are my other... One involved the guy... forgot we had a date, which was a standard with him. He ghosted and stood me up a lot, and I was very desperate. Once again, more manic panic than brain cells. And I went to his place. It wasn't actually his place. He was staying at a friend's place. And he opened the door having clearly just woken up after sleeping on the mattress in the corner. And it was really hot because we were in Savannah and he was not super thrilled that I was there. And I was like, do you have any water?
You were scheduled to go on a date and he just forgot and woke up. Okay.
Yes. Not his house. And I was like, hey, can I get a glass of water? And he was like, the water's turned off for some reason. All I have is PBR. it's like 11 a.m. Oh,
okay. I was really hoping you didn't say BR there.
BR?
All I have is P.
No, it was just PBR. It was not refrigerated PBR. It was warm PBR. And then we went out on a walk so he could buy a pack of cigarettes. And then he took me to McDonald's and we got McChickens. And then there was not a table. So we sat on the floor of not this guy's house and ate McChickens.
On someone else's mattress.
No, just like on the hardwood floor talking about John Waters.
I thought he didn't have any waters.
This is again me trying to be tactful as we're on a live stream. There, where his mattress was, there was a back door that was presumably into a yard, but that back door had like a window in it, and so we were doing stuff that you would do on a mattress. Then I look up and there's a fucking woman staring through the thing because turns out that wasn't the back door. That was the fucking front door. And this was the neighbor coming in to check on what was happening with the water.
Wow. Fantastic.
I can't even say that's in top 10 most humiliating moments of my life. It's like, doesn't even come close.
What state of dress were you in at that point?
Not. Rich asks, what's worse, this date or getting cholera? The fact that I have to think about it. So life is cool and fun.
Life is cool and fun.
Yeah.
Especially on a chill Sunday live stream.
Hi, Alex. Welcome. I don't know how long you've been here.
Oh, shit. Here he is. I love this.
I'm sweating so hard after
telling those stories. I was going to say, chat, like you suggested that people could give us topics to discuss or opine upon. Chat, what do you want to hear? We're going to open it up. Something we've never done before. We're gonna
hot takes.
It up to y'all. Hot takes, cold takes, lukewarm takes, all the takes. Give us something to discuss here, and we're going to first thought, best thought it.
Alex asks, crypto son or astrology daughter? Astrology daughter, duh.
Yeah, 100%. Although I do hate astrology, but yes.
Rich says, creationism. True and factual. Thanks.
Yep.
This is going great.
I like this, Colleen. Tier list of right-wing podcast grifters. Well, at the top, of course, is Brian Wecht.
Yes.
Next followed under by my protege, Joe Rogan.
Jory Grivas.
Yeah. Although, here's the issue. I mean, he is hard. Jory is hard right, but I wouldn't call him a podcaster.
He's a better podcaster than we are. What the fuck are you talking about?
He's certainly funnier than we are. Yeah, that's true.
The end of Twin Peaks, The Return. Greatest show ending of all time.
I mean, ask the question I've been asking since I was born. What year is this?
Very true.
Yeah.
Leighton, have you seen I Saw the TV Glow yet? No, I have not seen it yet, but I loved the director's last movie. We're all going to the World's Fair, and I'm very excited to watch it.
Yeah, that one looks interesting. I'd like to see that too. I've seen a.
We're All Going to the World's Fair?
No, but I've seen good things about. I saw the TV Glow, and I'd like to see it.
Yeah. Vibes.
Why'd you say vibes?
Because the movie has vibes.
Oh, I see. Yes, you know many movies do these days.
Yes, one might describe a movie as a collection of vibes.
Yeah, a visual feast of vibes. Now, this is a good question, actually, from Captain Auk. Favorite bad movie?
Many definitions of the word bad.
That's why this is interesting. That's exactly why I want to talk about this.
Also, this wasn't a question, but this was said by DS Rockstar in regards to World's Fair. Good ass movie. So first of all, we need to talk about favorite bad movie, but then we need to talk about good ass movies. And I mean movies for ass. I think my answer is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's a lot of ass in that movie.
There's a lot of ass in that movie. Okay. I mean, in terms of a pure ass movie, you got to go with Starship Troopers, right?
Indeed. Indeed.
Quality ass. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm losing film cred by the fact that I have to Google this.
Do you want me to mute you? Should I mute you?
No, give me Woman's Corner.
Okay. There you go.
My favorite ass movie is Alhazard Balthazar, a 1966 French tragedy film directed by Robert Bresson.
What about Hassan?
It's a movie about a donkey.
Okay, great.
Favorite bad movie.
Now, as you say, bad could mean many things, like incompetent, dumb.
The thing that's coming to mind, because it is a bad movie on pretty much every level, and it's not even like it's so bad it's good, it's just like bad and enjoyable, is Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch.
You know, I've never seen that, but I've heard other people say this.
Retrograde, stupid, misogynistic, whatever, but it's a bunch of babes in short skirts with swords, and Oscar Isaac is creepy and has eyeliner on, and it kind of fucking whips. So I think that maybe that's my answer.
That's an interesting answer. I definitely went through the bad movie thing, you know, like when I was in college, we would watch like shitty movies, and this was just pre Mystery Science Theater, or just when it was coming out, so we'd like heard about it. But there was this movie I was obsessed with in college called Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. And it was like a, I would guess, mid-80s, maybe early 80s horror film. Might even be the 70s. It had the type, we got a VHS with it. And it was like the type of VHS case that was like the big, really chunky one. You know what I'm talking about? It's not just the sleeve. It's like the big plastic thing where you open it up and it kind of has a ridge around it. Yeah. And this movie, of course, sucks. So I forget, I haven't seen this in a long, long time now. But my favorite part, not only was it just inept in every sense of the word, but there was basically the idea is there are some people who are on maybe an island or something, I don't know, and they do some kind of ritual to summon the dead, except it doesn't work. Or does it? So it does. But at one point, talking about how the ritual didn't work, a character says, I believe she's addressing a person named Alan. She goes, Alan, your summation was a bummer. And what's funny about that, for those of you who don't know, is summation is completely the wrong word there. Summation is like adding a bunch of things together, right?
Huh.
Like summoning is the word she's looking for. So in a math context, now imagine me being a young math major at Williams College. Anytime I was around someone who was adding things together, gave me an opportunity to say, your summation was a bummer. So I was pretty,
and everybody got the reference and clapped.
As with all my references, people like them and know what they're from.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah.
So children, you should look up the cover for this.
It looks awesome.
It's incredible, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the one with red text on like the gravestone or whatever?
I saw many different variations, many such cases, indeed.
It's a great name for a movie. Very like retro horror kind of name.
No, it's super giallo. It's like Don't Torture a Duckling or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. More a hot take speed round. Give us some shit, chat.
Yep. Oh, The Cell. I've never seen The Cell.
Neither have I. And I know people love it. No, I know people love it. That's not being sarcastic. I know many people whose opinion I respect who fucking love The Cell.
Now, here's another, in a similar vein, Slamuel's asking favorite bad albums.
Hmm.
Probably The Prophecy by Ninja Sex Party.
You beat me to it, Brian.
I know,
you really did.
It's too easy. I would not, responding to this, I would not consider Darkman a bad movie. I like Darkman. Darkman's fun. It's like a, it's a Sam Raimi movie. It's fun. Yeah.
Nern says, finally watched The Taking of Deborah Logan. Thoughts? That movie fucks.
If I don't know, I don't, at all.
I don't remember anything else about it other than the part that rules, and that part is so great.
Mm-hmm.
And also I've used it as a reaction gift to people before. So yes. Hot great. Take on watching movies as a hobby, blows and is for virgins.
Ooh, wow. Great. Now we could move on to segments here.
Yeah, I guess we could. How long have we been recording and not just watching the countdown play indefinitely? Okay, we've got segment time.
Yeah, we got plenty of segment time. I think I only played the countdown once, if I remember correctly. By the way, Rich is 100% right. Bad Company by Bad Company from Bad Company is the best song.
You didn't even read the question.
Title. No, but sorry, who cares? He's exactly right.
You didn't read the original question.
Self-titled, then you fucking do it. Here, hold on. I'll give you your thing. There you go. Woman's Corner. All right, go.
Colonel Splendid says self-titled albums that also contain self-titled songs, i.e. Boston on Boston by Boston.
That sounds hot. But yes, Bad Company by Bad Company from Bad Company hits the
You should trifecta. Have muted me as I said that. I think that would have been the ultimate.
Yeah. I didn't want to do that again. I felt like that would be too much. I don't like to overuse bits.
Hot take, 80% of therapists suck.
I don't even think that's a hot take. I think it's just true.
That's just statistics.
Yeah. All right, so.
Hot take, 80% of this podcast sucks.
Well, 80%, yeah. Do you need a break or anything? I made a little break screen for us if we need a break. Do you need a break?
Yeah. No, I'm shellacked with sweat, but it's fine. We're going to push through it.
The first segment on the show, Layton, is our pop culture recommendation segment. Now, this is a segment.
That was a nice impression of me introducing a segment.
Yeah, actually, well, so can I do, you know what, maybe, should I introduce a segment, like, should I do my Layton impression, not a voice, but like a vibe impression of you introducing a segment?
Sure, yeah, do it.
Here's the deal. I'm going to introduce the What's Poppin' segment as if I was you, as if I were you. Sorry, I believe in the subjunctive here. And then you can introduce the second segment as if you were me.
All right.
Okay, great. All right, so this is me introducing, this is Layton Gray, introducing the
Wait, 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 put the woman's corner up.
You beat me to it. I was just about to. There we are. Okay. All right, so our first segment on the show, is our pop culture recommendation segment, and I'm terrible at introducing the segment. You'd think I'd be actually kind of good at it right now, but I'm not. Anyway, this is What's Poppin', and the theme song goes here.
What's poppin'?
What's poppin'?
Notes.
So on StreamYard, now that we're on StreamYard, I can play the What's Poppin' theme song.
Indeed. Everyone remember that. Notes on you doing me introducing the segment. I think there should have been more fuck ups in it. And you really didn't nail the self-loathing vibe hard enough. So,
well, I did. You know what? I actually thought about that, but I didn't want to come across as being too negative on you. So I did consider that.
Well, you're a failure and a coward.
What was the third thing?
Brian, what's poppin'?
What's poppin' for me is I have been enjoying, now I wouldn't even say this is a bad TV show, but it is an easy TV show, and that is White Collar on the USA Network. This show, it's got the hottest person in the world, Matt Bomer, who is comically attractive. I mean, this guy is like, nobody should be that hot. It's like, and he's so hot, this is when you know someone's hot, he's so hot that they talk on the show all the time about how hot he is. That's when you know someone on a TV show is hot.
Yeah.
And it's he plays Neil Caffrey, a con man who basically it gets a prison release to help the FBI. And the main agent, it's sort of a buddy comedy thing. The main agent, Peter Burke, is played by Tim DeKay, who some of you might know as Bizarro Jerry from Seinfeld. And it's just a fun, easy, it's not even a procedural, but it's vaguely procedural. It's just fun. Everything, there's like little heist things going on. Alexandra Daddario is in it. At least briefly in the first season. I forget if she comes back. Willie Garson, who's really great character actor, RIP. Tiffany Thiessen plays Peter Burke's wife, and she's awesome. She's really great. It's just a really fun, easy to watch show. It's on Netflix, and I've been enjoying that. I watched it a little bit when it was out, you know, whatever, 15, not 20, but like 15-ish years ago. Really enjoy it. And Matt Bomer's great. He's really fun in this show.
Brian, have you ever watched Entourage?
No, I think I have heard people endlessly make fun of Entourage, but I have never seen an episode of Entourage.
Me too. Neither have I. So maybe we watch some Entourage. I think that would be entertaining or miserable. I have no idea.
I would definitely watch Entourage. I feel like we should, you know what we should do? We should do kind of what we did with Breaking Dawn and watch the Entourage movie without having seen the TV show. No.
No, pass.
Okay, that's a pass. That's a hard pass, everybody. All right, Layton, what's popping with you?
What's popping for me is this lovely little semi-horror novel that I read called, and I'm going to pronounce at least one third of this, Monstrilio by Gerardo Cordova. It is about a couple who have a child who is like 7 years old, and due to a lung issue, the child dies. And so the mom cuts out a piece of his lung and keeps it and feeds it, and it grows into a little monster. And I won't explain it any further. And I know how that concept sounds. Like, it sounds like it's going to be ridiculous horror. And it's not. It was like so beautiful, so moving, went so many places I didn't expect. And the thing that I read in all the negative reviews of it were like, why is every character gay? It's so unrealistic that every single character is gay. But reading it, I was like, fuck yeah! Everybody's gay! So yeah, highly recommend.
I hate to break
it
to those people, but there are some environments in which everybody around you is gay.
That well, it happens. Also, people who say that, it's like, okay, then your friend group sucks. What friend groups you in? Because
also that, yes.
But yeah. Monstrilio, read it. It's great.
I love it. Great.
That's what's popping for me.
Incredible. Now we get to the fun stuff, because you get to do your Brian impression in introducing the Peaches and Lemons segment.
Well, now it's time for the final segment, which is everyone's favorite segment. Now, the most important part of this segment is the theme song for the segment. Oh, hold on. I need to get to do the full Brian mannerism that I've now had to adopt of you doing fucking this all the time. And the best part about the segment is the theme song to the segment. And maybe even more important than the theme song to the segment is the introduction to the segment. Brian worked very hard on this theme song, and there's a lot of musicality. There are a lot of different influences. There are a lot of different sounds. How do you do this?
I'm incredible.
Your ability to do this for extended periods of time is actually incredibly impressive. And every week, I'm very impressed by it. And a lot of people have a lot of different reactions to this theme song. Some of them correct, some of them incorrect. And everyone's entitled to their own opinion, whether it be positive or negative. But if it is negative, they will be immediately booted off the show because their opinion is worthless to me. But I always love hearing from people on what their favorite part of the theme song is for this segment, which is called What's Poppin'. Fuck!
You blew that about as hard as you possibly could have at the very end. Defeat from the jaws of victory.
The name of this segment is called Peaches and Lemons, and the theme song goes here.
Okay, I thought that was very good. My one note, I thought you did my segment introduction pausing thing well.
Thanks.
Which I liked. But
DS Rockstar says, I don't care why, but Layton's impression of Brian sounds like Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, well, because we're both somewhat nasal, although I think he's a little higher pitched than I am.
Sweating and so smarter. Hard from having to keep that up. Just give me a fucking second.
Rich is right. It was a little more Tucker Carlson-y.
Oh my God, he's so right.
Yeah. What was I going to say here? Oh, the only thing you didn't do is go on for 20 minutes.
Yes, I know, but I don't have that kind of stamina.
It's not. See, the trick, Layton, is to pretend nobody else is listening and just go on and on and on as if you're not wasting everybody's time.
Yes.
It's simple.
When I started looking into the middle distance, I kind of got it. Also, I'm sorry. It's so fucking hot in here. And I'll go first because this is Peaches and Lemons. And this is my lemon. My AC works intermittently, but also spits from condensation and is turning off randomly also. So I'm mildly dying. And that is my lemon. Also, there is a
fruit. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. And there is a fruit fly infestation in my bathroom whose source I cannot identify. I have a million traps. I've poured boiling water down the drains. I've done all this shit. They're
oh, that's
still
the
there.
Worst. I hate that shit.
So, yeah. But the woke left doesn't want you to know is that this segment is called Peaches and Lemons. Brian, what's your lemon?
Honestly, my lemon was the same thing. It's so fucking hot out right now. We got so far into June without it being too fucking hot here in LA. And this weekend, it really popped off. And I hate it. I hate summer. I know this is not a cool opinion, literally. But I don't like it when it's light. I don't like it when it's hot. I want it to be dark and cold, and then I'm much happier.
Yes, agreed. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to find my oil blotting. You can see my face. I'm glistening.
With talent.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so that's my one. Hot, hot, hot.
All right, now it's time for Peaches.
Also, my favorite song by Buster Poindexter.
Now it's time for Peaches. Did I say that? I probably did. Faffel is right. I am literally melting. It's also, I'm wearing like glittery, I put glitter on my eyelids, but now like the rest of my face is approaching that sheet because I'm so fucking sweaty. Someone mentioned that when we had Grant Kirkhope on, we didn't even introduce him, which is kind of
about that.
Fucking incredible. My first peach is the other night. You know, I've been harassing people really hard to play video games with me in the chat, in our group chat. And
oh yeah, you're relentless.
Yes, I am, because I miss gamers and it's Dead by Daylight anniversary and I hate playing by myself and I want to play with my friends. And I thought I wasn't going to get anybody. We had like a dozen gamers in the chat with four separate games streaming, as mentioned previously. And it was fucking delightful. I loved it.
It was great. Yeah, I couldn't believe, you know, every so often.
And Brian came in.
I came in because I was working on some stuff and I just popped open the Discord and I was like, oh my God, everybody's there. So I joined and started chatting.
Yes, it's always, please pop in anytime you see us in there. It's always a treat. My second peach is, you can like literally hear that this isn't the peach, but you can hear the brain cells coming out of my body through my sweat at this moment. number two is the sweet release of when you finally hit a deadline that's been coming for a while and then you're allowed to simply just fucking hibernate, which I've been doing and it's amazing. Yep. And then related third peach is it's cold shower weather, baby.
That's right, it is.
I fucking love making it ice cold and putting it right on top of my scalp. I'm actually probably going to do that the moment we finish this.
Nice.
Yeah, so those are my three peaches. What about you?
That's great. My peaches are, number one, I did a Trey Magnifique photo shoot this week. with the amazing Sella Shaloni, who is a photographer I've worked with a few times for NSP, Grumps, etc. He's really, really great local LA photographer, shoots a lot of awesome people. And we shot the cover.
You think
for the
it's
upcoming...
awesome that people get shot?
I do. Well, I'm very pro Second Amendment, later, famously, of course. I'm doing a Trade Magnifique Christmas EP, and we shot the cover for that, which was here's a sub peach, not to sub peach you, but the I was looking for a space because I wanted a certain vibe to it, and I was like, wait a minute. My
it's called
home
impeaching.
Sort of has that. Yeah. Actually, I like that. So not only did I schedule the photo shoot, I also didn't have to pay for a separate studio space or peer space or whatever. We just did it at my place, and it was great. So that's Peach 1. Peach 2 is I have just been so musically inspired to write shit recently. This past week, I've been, you know, like I'm writing kind of new stuff almost every night. And really been enjoying it. So it's just some of it is just random stuff, not for any particular project, just writing, which is a good feeling. So that's been really fun. And the other, my final peach is Audrey is at Knott's Berry Farm today on her first theme park outing without her parents. She's with her best friend and her best friend's dad. And it's some kind of like Old West thing right now or something.
Well, but yeah, that's how Knott's Berry Farm is. They've got that's the sliders of Ghost Town are from the western area of the park. That's like their bit.
See, I didn't even know that. I think I went to Knott's Berry Farm when I was like 13 or something, and I have not been since. So it's been a long time, but she's off on her own with her best friend and they're having a great day. So that's really great. These two kids are like super best friends, and it is so cute to watch them together. They play Minecraft and they tell silly jokes to each other, and they're just, you know, they're both 10-ish. Audrey's 10, her best friend is almost 10, and it's such a fun, cute age, and they have a great relationship. So anytime they get a chance to spend time together, it's always great.
I love that.
Yep, so those are my peaches.
Wowzers.
Well, indeed. Well, we did it.
We did do it. Now, here's a proposal. We finish this episode formally, and then, you know, that'll go in the public feed, and then we hang out for a few more minutes.
I like this.
You know, very, very relaxed fit. I'll take off my makeup. We can sit here. Just so when we do these in the future, people at home,
I'll undo another button.
Yeah, amazing. You'll know what you missed. Actually, you won't know what you missed. So you should get on the Patreon at patreon.com/latentnight. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the places. Please tell your friends about this show.
Yes, please. For those of you who watch this, let us, you know, this is our first time, as I said, using this new platform here. Tech-wise, it seemed to work great, but if there's anything you think we could do to make this better, I'm not interested in your opinion. So that's what it is. No, seriously, like if there's stuff you think we could do, I don't know if you noticed, I have this countdown thing that I could play.
No,
if you'd like to hear more, I'm so tempted to do it right now. I'm so, Layden, the more you say don't, the more I want to do it.
Well, if you're listening to this on the main feed, which is audio only, and you want to see the video and all of the very funny visual bits that have happened during this episode, or
so
if you
many.
Want to participate in future chat live streams, which we will absolutely do, patreon.com/latentnight. I don't know how to podcast. It's been 4 years and my brain is boiling inside my skull. See you next week for more of content.
Yep. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Late Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LeightonNight. Follow us on Twitter at LeightonNight, on Instagram at Leighton_Night, or email us at LeightonNight@gmail.com.